Turn with me in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1. Tonight we'd like to talk about an important subject. We would like to talk about purpose in your life. Purpose in your life. When you think of the importance of having a purpose for your life, it couldn't be more readily illustrated by a recent poll that surveyed the Western, many modern nations, and found that in the land of United Kingdom, there was the largest percentage of young adults of all the nations surveyed considered there to be no meaning to life. And as you read about the survey, you find out that there is a very simple and important denominator to the issue of having meaning in life. And those societies, like United Kingdom, that have become a secular, godless society and have pushed God out of life, those young people have determined that there is no purpose to life. And I think in the survey, you can look it up, there's a majority almost of young people, young adults, who considered life to have no meaning. And of course, along with that comes a very high suicide rate. And of course, the survey also made it clear that the nations in the world that had a greater belief in God and religion was a part of their life, those young people considered their life to be meaningful and purposeful and had a completely different outlook on life. Now, obviously, we know that that's just the way it is. To try to deny God, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And the Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 2, the ways of man are of the Lord. In other words, man is made a spiritual being. He had been created in the image of God. He has a soul. He has an intellect, emotion, will. He is a spiritual being. He is not an animal. He is a special creation of God, made in the likeness of God. And all there is about man has to do with the key ingredient, his maker, God. And so as we think of this, when you think of the word purpose, what do you think of? You know, when I think of purpose, I think of direction. I think of meaning. I think of values. I think of motivation. All of those things are a part of a person that has purpose in their life. Now, I remember as a young person when we were in eighth grade, public school, my teacher was a God-fearing lady. And in fact, we went to the same church. And she would have us, all the students, decide what they're going to do with their life. And you had to write a paper about what you were going to do with your life. And you had to wrestle. God wasn't really a part of it because, you know, public school. But we all had to wrestle with this idea, what are you going to do with your life? And I remember wrestling with that. I was in catechism class at the Presbyterian Church. And the pastor was trying to get all of us young men to go into the ministry. And there was two Schuster boys. And I knew my friends were relatives of those Schuster boys. And he said, now those are the only two men from our church that had gone into the ministry. And I'd like to see more men from our church go into the ministry. And being unsaved, thinking that, you know, works got you to heaven, I thought, well, I'm going to think about this. I'm going to really think about going into the ministry as my purpose in life. And I wrestled with it, thought about it. I can't say I prayed about it because I don't know if I knew how to pray. But I remember that one day I came to the conclusion, nope, that's not for me. Even if it means I won't make it to heaven, I'm not going to be a minister. But so I decided that I was going to was going to be a civil engineer and go into road building and that kind of line of work. And so from that time forward, my whole high school was aimed at going into engineering school and doing those kind of things. And I took all my classes based on what I was going to do with my life and took as much math as I could and much science as I could and even took industrial arts classes to be rounded and et cetera, et cetera. But I had a goal. I had a purpose for my life, even though it was my own purpose. But praise the Lord, God is has a purpose for us long before we even get saved. But, so when you think about that, my whole life was guided by a purpose. Now, I'm not going to say that it was, it really wasn't God's purpose, because I'm not in road building, although I've built a few roads in the ministry. You know that? Built a few roads, and it's been fun. Building roads for the Lord, and used all those abilities of my teenage years. Got saved at 18. I used almost every one of those abilities of my teenage years, whether it was road building or building construction or drafting, farming. Everything that I learned as a teenager, I've used in the Lord's work. And so it wasn't meaningless, but God had his hand upon my life before I was even saved. But the issue today is, first of all, are you a person that has purpose? And that's an important part of life. The world, they say in Italy, that in Italy, a person is 28 years of age before they have their first job. Can you imagine that? 28 years of age before their first job. Now, I had my first full-time job when I was in eighth grade. First full-time job. And most of you young people, if you, if your dad, you know, probably gets a load of gravel to the front yard and has you move it to the backyard and from the backyard to the front yard just to make you have purpose in life. But you got to have purpose. But where does purpose come from? Where is the key principle of purpose? The key principle of purpose is that God is a God of purpose. God is a God of purpose. And, of course, we know that to be true. Ephesians chapter 1 purpose is one of the key words in the book of Ephesians. So let's look at some of these great verses in Ephesians 1. Notice Ephesians 1. Let's look at a few places here. verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That sounds to me like purpose. doesn't it? God has a purpose. God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for every Christian. And that purpose is that we should be holy and without blame before Him. In love. Wow. There's some great verses here. Verse 6. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Isn't that an amazing thing? That God chose us human beings who would trust Christ, that we would be adopted into the family of God? Wow. That we, horrible, rotten sinners, that we would be adopted. Those of us who trust Christ would be adopted into His family. What a privilege. What a privilege. That we, God would choose, purpose that we would be adopted into His family. And of course, we have these great verses in whom, and that we would be to the praise of the glory of His grace. And this talks about purpose, to the praise of His glory. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. That's the Bible. According to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. God is a God of purpose. And we read about all these great things about God's purpose. Ephesians chapter 3, some verses about God's purpose. It says in verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow, we have here that God has a purpose, and one of His purposes is the local church. And through the local church, whose membership is made up of born again, baptized disciples living in obedience to Jesus Christ, that those who come into local church and live a godly life and live under authority and serve Him and reach the world for Christ through the local church, that He is, His eternal purpose is that the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. You know, He chose the local church that be an example, a lesson to the angels. Think of that. The angels, the principalities and powers in the heavens, are looking down at churches like this. The local church, that's God's plan. To show them the marvelous wisdom of God in saving sinners and regenerating them and giving them the Holy Spirit and adopting them into the family of God and giving them the Word of God. This is God's eternal purpose. You know, it's a little bit bigger than we can comprehend, isn't it? God, an eternal purpose. And, of course, we can even think of 1 Peter chapter 1. God's eternal purpose, a God of purpose. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1, of course, we know that great verse. It says, verse 18, for as much as you know, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. What? Foreordained before the foundation of the world that He would die on Calvary's cross to rescue lost sinners from hell. Wow. God's is a God of purpose. And notice that whole sense of purpose. Romans chapter 8. It speaks of the sovereignty of God in his purpose and carrying out his purpose in individual lives. And this is a great verse in the Bible. We love it. But it has some particulars in it that I think are important for people to notice. Romans chapter 8, verse 8, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his," what? Purpose. What's the picture here? God has a purpose. And those who are in this, in his purpose, he works sovereignly in their lives. It doesn't matter what happens to them, around them. God sovereignly works all things for good for them that love him, who are the called according to his purpose. You know, sometimes we overgeneralize this passage of scripture. But boy, I tell you what, it's right on. Purpose. According to his purpose. God is a God of purpose. And you know, when you start thinking about that, you begin to understand. Wait a minute. God is merciful. God is full of compassion, slow to anger. You think, oh, yeah. To be godly is to be like God. And then we think, you know what? God is a God of purpose. To be godly is to be like God, is to be a person of purpose. A person of purpose. We recognize that a person connects with the eternal purpose of God in salvation. Isn't that wonderful? A person connects to God and a God of purpose and God's purpose for our lives in salvation. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is a great, great verse in the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. And of course, this reflects a little bit about what we talked about in Ephesians. And what a great passage of scripture when we think of how people are downplaying holiness today. Notice it says, verse 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace." That's amazing, isn't it? God called us according to his purpose and his plan and his grace. Had nothing to do with how good we were. No, we're lost sinners. But notice this great truth. Acts chapter 9, we find the salvation of the Apostle Paul. And when he gets saved, immediately God sends Ananias to him there in Damascus. And he's telling Ananias what he's going to tell Saul, soon to be the Apostle Paul. in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way. Ananias was objecting to go and talk to Saul, because Saul had been putting people in prison and seeing that they were killed, and he was a little bit afraid to go and talk to him. He says, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. In Acts chapter 26, the Apostle Paul is giving his own account of this. Acts chapter 26. And he appears unto Saul, verse 14, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to prick against the pricks. And I said unto him, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Wow. There we find he's connecting with God's purpose. He says, I appeared unto thee for this purpose. And you know, when a person gets saved, that's one of the immediate things that they sense. They sense immediately, God has a purpose for me to share the good news of Jesus Christ with anybody and everybody I can. Purpose. We connect with God's purpose at salvation. That's as simple as and basic a lesson in theology as you can get today. When you get saved, you get connected with God's purpose. And the immediate effect of understanding that purpose is that you recognize that God has saved you for His purpose, for His plan. And the center of His plan, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice verse 19. This is great. Apostle Paul says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. He says, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Immediately, he was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And we see this as the sense of purpose that found in Jesus Christ, in the person, the lost sinner who gets saved, who passes from death unto life, who passes from being a child of hell to a child of heaven, from being in Adam's family to being adopted to God's family. They connect with the purpose of God for their life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the Apostle Paul says this in a different way, but we get this sense of purpose. We get this sense of direction. We get this sense of meaning. We get this sense of motivation. We get this sense of eternal values as we see the Apostle Paul connecting to God's purpose for his life. And talking about the resurrection and verse 8, and last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet or worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. See, the call of God is by his grace. It says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Notice this connection of God's plan, of God's purpose in Christ Jesus, and coming to Christ, believing on him, connecting with God's purpose, and now being a person of purpose. And that's exactly what we see. He says, I am what I am by the grace of God, and his grace was not bestowed upon me in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Here we see it. A man of purpose. He had meaning in his life. He had direction in his life. He had motivation in his life. He had value in his life. And the key of life is found, and the key of purpose is found in God. The key of purpose is found in Jesus Christ. And I'm afraid we have way too many people that claim Christ but have no purpose. It's maybe an empty profession. But the Bible tells us that God has a purpose, and he has an eternal purpose in Christ Jesus, and he has a plan, and he saves us to fulfill his purpose. And when we get saved, we get connected personally with his purpose. And now we have a purpose for our life. And I'm just thinking as well of now Philippians chapter 3 of the Apostle Paul, his testimony again. And of course, his testimony is an example of the reality of salvation. In Philippians chapter 3, notice the sense of purpose, the Apostle Paul. And we could read so much of this chapter. And verse 10, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, being conformed to the image of God. He says, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that, verse 12, that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ. I love that phrase. And when I hear that phrase, apprehended of Christ, it's kind of like a simple summary. Jesus Christ got a hold of me. Jesus Christ got a hold of me. That's what he's saying. I've been apprehended by Jesus Christ. And when you get saved, we have to repent and turn to Christ. But Apostle Paul says, I've been apprehended. He got a hold of me. And praise the Lord, he got a hold of me. Has he gotten a hold of you? That's the big question. And you know, when he gets a hold of you, all of a sudden you got a purpose in life. Amen. You got a purpose that's real, that's connected with eternity, that puts everything together. You know, life has some wonderful parts to it, and there's a lot of things in life that I love doing, but you know, they would have no meaning. They would be empty if I didn't know Christ and if I wasn't living for him. All those things that I would enjoy in life would be a burden. They would be empty. They would be meaningless, because everything finds meaning in Jesus Christ. Everything finds meaning in Jesus Christ. And so